In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hello, this is Pastor John, and we are in the midst of a series titled Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer, which is based on my new book, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer, which you can find online at Amazon. You can also go to our website, reflectthegloryofgodinprayer.com. Now, the first step in the prayer is R for remember the glories of God. And the second step is E, examine your motives and manner. And we're right now currently in step three, F, face life with the scriptures. And we were talking about Hannah and the trial that she had been going through, being barren at a time when that is a significant issue for women then, and it's still a significant issue today. And we came to the place where Hannah has just poured out her prayer, telling the Lord, making a vow, I will give you my first child. And we're amazed, I'm amazed at her prayer. But as we dig deeper and learn more about Hannah, we find out that this is a woman who loves the Lord, who is knowledgeable of God's word, and she is filled with the scriptures. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 through 10, it's a long passage, but I want you to listen to what she says and how her knowledge of God is expressed. Listen to these words. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. That is absolutely stunning theology. If you actually slow down to read and look at what she says, she understands how God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. She is actually articulating the whole theme of the book of 1 Samuel. Those who are high will be made low, and those who are low will be made high. I mean, Saul's a great example of that, and so is David. And she even ends the prayer in discussion and hinting at the millennial kingdom of Christ's reign. Where does that theology come from? Where does that knowledge come from? It only comes from one place, the scriptures, the word of the Lord. Hannah knows God, and Hannah knows God's word. And so, when the trial comes, and life squeezes and brings difficult situations into her life, she doesn't drown them out with drugs and alcohol. Nope, she turns to prayer, and she pours out her life to God, to his very throne. And God hears Hannah's prayer, and she is given a child, Samuel, the last judge, the first prophet, and kingmaker. Samuel is significant, too, just in his own life. It says of him that no word ever fell to the ground. It's a beautiful picture of how everything he said was wise and was useful and served a purpose. You know, this prayer by Hannah is amazing. As I said, it speaks of the Lord's salvation, his humbling the proud, his love for his people, future judgment, Messiah's future rule and reign. Hannah had to be saturated with these truths way beforehand she ever prayed this prayer. And that's my point. How do you face life? With the scriptures? Do you even know where to go in the Word of God when trials hit? Is your first reaction a fleshly response or a spiritual response? Is it on your feet with your hands raised, ready to engage in battle against someone in conflict? Or is it on your knees, praying and crying out to God in anguish? Daniel is amazing. Taken away as a young man, away from his family, to another foreign land, to be under the strong hand of Nebuchadnezzar. He almost gets killed when Nebuchadnezzar is enraged that his sorcerers can't interpret his dream. And yet Daniel survives and thrives under at least four different kingdoms. And we know about Daniel, he prays three times a day, which his enemies tried to use against him. It was 605 BC when King Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. And Daniel was one of those captives hauled off. Now, Daniel could have easily said, "You pagans, I hate you," and resented it. Instead, he vowed simply to be faithful to the Lord in that new situation. That's amazing wisdom just for a young man in of itself. Daniel loved and obeyed the Lord. And when Daniel was serving King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even recall the dream and tried to have his sorcerers and magicians interpret the dream as well as tell them the dream without ever hearing it, this became a problem because no man had the ability to know the dream that was in the mind of King Nebuchadnezzar, let alone trying to interpret it. And so out of frustration, King Nebuchadnezzar decrees that all his wise men should be slain. And Daniel, being one in the house, as a servant of King Nebuchadnezzar in the court, would have been slain with the rest of them. And this is what's so amazing with young Daniel, is he sees the decree and he answers with wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. This is what it says in Daniel 2, 14 through 23. "Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree from the king so urgent?' Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in," look at this, "and asked the king to give him time." That's pretty bold and courageous. "Then he might tell the king the interpretation. So Daniel went on behalf not only of his own life and his friends, but all the other unbelievers, and risked his life going to the king and asking for more time." That's wisdom. And he says this, "So Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek," who? "The mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So look what Daniel does. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." Do you see how Daniel faced life with scriptures? He sought God in prayer, and God revealed to him exactly what he needed so that not only him and his three friends' lives are spared, but all the other wise men's lives as well. This is a man of God. This is someone who faces life with scripture. Notice, too, he also sought help from his friends. Do you have other Christians who are in solidarity with you, focused on the Lord, his word, and prayer? Do you have brothers and sisters in Christ faithfully walking with you, encouraging you to walk faithfully with the Lord, rather than walking in a way that's against the Lord? You know, scriptures warn us that bad company corrupts good morals. How are you cultivating godliness in your life? Are you being a positive effect on those around you? Now, what's so amazing about this prayer is God answers Daniel's request, and Daniel blesses God for it. It's a great model of prayer, facing life with scriptures. And I love the end of this passage. It's so rich with truths regarding the sovereignty of God, his omniscience, knowing all things. And Daniel knew God, studied his word, and as a result, was able to face life with scriptures. Josiah. What do you know about King Josiah? Well, he was a young man, 8 years of age when he becomes king, and he began to put the kingdom back on track with God. But the place, Israel was still having problems. In fact, what's so shocking is that they lost the Bible during his reign. In fact, 2 Kings chapter 22, it says that one day when the king was about 26 years old, the high priest discovered a copy of the law. Imagine losing the Bible. And upon hearing the scriptures read and the promises that God would do should Israel reject his word, King Josiah tore his clothes in great grief over the sin of the people against God and his word. And so Josiah sent the priest, the scribe, and several others to inquire of the Lord. Now, this is a fascinating story because when Josiah hears the word of God, his response is not excuses, but it's repentance. It's grief. It's like, we have sinned against God Almighty. All we have now is the mercy of God. And so he sends the priest, the scribe, and several others to inquire of the Lord. I love this story because it shows you the right response to God's word. That when you have been proven that you have sinned, you don't run from the sin, you don't cover the sin, you don't deny the sin, you confess the sin. And secondly, you throw yourself upon the mercies of the king. I think we've lost some of that in the church. We don't see God as a sovereign king who has every right to bring judgment upon our lives. Instead, we sometimes presume, oh, he'll be gracious. And I think we've lost some of that reverence and respect that he deserves as the most powerful being in the universe. We forget that we are here because he lets us. We are here because he gives us life and breath. And we're here not for our own selfish gains, but for a kingly purpose. We're his ambassadors. We're supposed to be concerned about the kingdom, not our kingdom. And here's Josiah, who's king of Israel, and he hears what the scripture says and realizes he and the kingdom is in jeopardy. And being the king of Israel realizes there's only one action, prayer and beg for mercy. The neat thing about the story is the Lord, in his mercy, spares Josiah from judgment because Josiah was truly grieved over the sin of the nation. Josiah begins to purge Israel of idolatrous priests, high places, images, and even reinstates the Passover. These scriptures I'm going to read summarize Josiah's life. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. As we close, this is the testimony you and I should have in this life. Let us be known as one who turns to the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we live according to the law of Christ. If you're challenged today, spend some time in prayer, facing life with Scripture. Examine your motives and manner, and remember the glories of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.